Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day.
God is the only being in existence who is completely trustworthy. But even those of us who follow Him, we don't always feel like we can trust Him. That's because we have our questions and our doubts, and our stumbling attempts to fully trust Him. Sometimes it seems like He's absent, like He doesn't care. And then we question, "Where are you, God?" in our times of trial. Since we live in this world, we're constantly surrounded by actions, activities, and situations that can hinder us from trusting in the Lord. But we need to continually place our trust in Him. We must first learn how to give our cares and our concerns to Him, that is, to put our faith into practice, because you know something? He has promised that He will never leave us or forsake us. And because we have that promise, even when our feelings are absent, we can continue in faith. Is the God you worship worthy of your trust? Or can you carry Him around and set Him where you want Him, on a shelf? Can He do anything for you? Or must you do everything for Him? Can He calm your fears and give you peace deep in your heart, way down in the depths of your being? If not, then why not trust Him? That is, why not trust the true God? As God was preparing Moses to deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt, God presented Himself as the one who can be trusted. And so the answer to this question, why not trust Him, is found in Exodus chapter 3 and verses 16 to 22. So listen carefully as I read those verses, and together we will learn how we can trust God. "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to your voice. And you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, The Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now let us go, we beseech you, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And then I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go out empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourns with her in the house, jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and clothing, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians." Now, this text provides us with the foundations upon which you and I can firmly set our trust. The first foundation for trust I have called the foundation of revelation. Notice how the Lord came to Moses. He made an announcement to him. He said, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them." Now listen carefully, because here is where the revelation is. He said, "The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob has appeared to me." So there is an announcement which is a part of the revelation. And then he said, "I have surely visited you, and I have seen what is being done to you in Egypt." You can hardly turn a page in the Holy Scriptures without finding that God is relating Himself personally to someone. Here, He is relating Himself to Moses, and He's instructing him to go to the elders of Israel, and how He, that is God Himself, is understanding the very deep needs of His people. But the foundation of the revelation is not only the announcement, but also the promise. Because God said He was going to bring the people out of their afflictions in Egypt. If we were to go back in history to the time of Abraham, and open the Bible to Genesis chapter 15, we would find that God had predicted to Abraham that the people of Israel, that is Abraham's descendants, would be going down into a land that didn't belong to them, and they would be down there for 400 years. So God remembered his promise, and he said to Moses, "I'm going to bring you out now, and I'm going to bring you into the land that I promised, a land flowing with milk and honey." Now, there's quite a contrast between the land of Egypt and the Holy Land. The land of Egypt was very fertile along the Nile Valley. It's really surprising how much food they can produce in that narrow strip, but then much of the remainder of the country is barren. So God said, "I'm going to take you out of this land," that is the land of Egypt, "and I'm going to take you into a land that flows with milk and honey." So the implication is this is a better place. God laid this foundation for trust when he revealed himself to Moses in this promise. God never asks anyone to trust him without proof. And here is the proof in his revelation. He revealed that he understood what was going on. We can trust God explicitly because of his revelation. The next foundation for trust I have called the foundation of evaluation. And God told Moses how to approach this situation. He said, "Go and bring the elders of Israel, and then together you will go to the king of Egypt." I'm impressed with the way God orders things. He doesn't just let things happen. He causes them to happen. He arranges the affairs so that everything comes out the way he plans it. So he told Moses exactly how to do this. First, he said the elders would listen to him, and then they would go with him to the king, and they would deliver a message from God to the king of Egypt. I find it is very important to do things properly, to do them in their proper order. Some people pay attention to the details. Others care little. They don't mind if something isn't quite right. But God is very concerned that everything be exactly right. So here you have the approach that God gave to Moses to carry out in the process of going to Pharaoh. And then God also gave Moses the appeal to the king of Egypt. He didn't let Moses try to figure out what he was going to say. God said, "No, this is what you say. The God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now let us go, we beseech you, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, so that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God." Or, to put it in our own words, God has met with us, and now we want to go to meet with him. And he even told us right down to the 3-day journey. And so their reason was to sacrifice to the Lord their God. I'm impressed with the way God works out his plan with precision. You know, some modern theologians talk about faith being a leap into the dark. You don't know where you're going or where you'll land. But God never asked anyone to trust him without a plan. And so here was the plan for Moses. God understood it. He was the one who had authored it. He described it carefully. He told Moses exactly how and what to do. So God's instructions laid a valuable foundation for trust. Do you know what God's plan is for you? Have you evaluated God's promises? What I mean by that is, have you tested them? Have you put them to work in your own life and experience? I have tested God's promises. And no, it hasn't always been easy, but I have found that God's promises are trustworthy. You can rest your faith on God's plan. The final foundation for trust, then, is the foundation of authorization. Further into the chapter, you will find that the Lord said to Moses that he was going to chasten the king of Egypt because he would not let them go. God said, "I know he will not let you go, but I will stretch out my hand, and I will smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst of them. And after that, then Pharaoh will let you go." You know, it's sad, but some people resist God until he brings discipline. He has to chasten them. He has to bring them into great distress before they even think about him. But then the Lord said, "After I have performed my wonders in Egypt, then he," that's Pharaoh, "will let you go." My friend, I urge you, don't be like that. Don't be like Pharaoh. Don't resist God and his power. Proverbs 29 verse 1 says, "He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Pharaoh had to learn the hard way that you don't ignore God when God tells you what to do. But the foundation of authorization carries another part too. It's the collection of back pay. Remember, the people of Israel had worked many, many years as slaves, and they worked hard. They had cruel taskmasters over them. And now the Lord said to Moses, "I am authorizing that they collect back pay." And he said, "I'm going to do it like this. I'm going to give them favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. And so the women are going to ask their neighbors and those that dwell in their houses for their jewels of gold and silver and their clothing." You know, those are the kind of goods that most people strive for. And then later in Exodus, when we study the building of the tabernacle, we see that the gold and the silver and the precious stones and the material or the cloth were very important for the building of the tabernacle. And God had those things in mind when he promised Moses that the people of Egypt would load them down with all this kind of treasures. So God not only would display his power over Pharaoh and all the false gods of Egypt, but he would use the gifts of Pharaoh's own people to be the materials to build his dwelling place among his own people. That's amazing. So remember, God never asks anyone to trust him without foundations. He provides the foundation of revelation, evaluation, and authorization. God understands, and God provides. Why not trust him? The God of Moses, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Thanks, J. Mark, for teaching us more from Exodus. And thank you for being there. If you would like this teaching, or if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us. I'll give you our information shortly. I love how Exodus teaches us that God is in control and he is at work. He always has been and he always will be. We can trust him right now, no matter what we are experiencing. We won't always understand him, but we can trust him. His timing might be different than ours. Think about Moses. However, we have the benefit of looking back at many years of history, and we see God is sovereign. His purposes will be accomplished. This is his story, and he is the author. If you are interested, we have a study guide for Exodus available. It is a small booklet designed to help you learn more from each of these lessons. We call it the Hope Herald, and if you would like one, all you have to do is ask. Here is how you can connect with us. One of the best ways is via email. Our email address is mail@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, you could send us a letter. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, PA, 15533. Or you can connect with us on our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. While you're there, please look around for more teaching like this. On our website, you will also find other resources available from Heralds of Hope. Again, the website is heraldsofhope.org. Thanks again for joining us for today's program. I encourage you to join us again next week as we continue our study in Exodus. We look forward to being with you then, and we'll leave you with a verse from 1 Corinthians 10. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Blessings to you as you glorify him.